Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. It is my privilege this morning to preach an encouraging message that we should praise the Lord. This first Sunday in November, our minds automatically shift to Thanksgiving. I know some people that on Facebook start on November the 1st and they give something that they're thankful for every day for the whole month of November. I think that's a great practice. As a matter of fact, I did it this morning myself, knowing that it's November the 1st. I didn't forget. I think it's a nifty idea. So on this, our very first Sunday in November, I thought it would be a good time to praise the Lord. Normally, I would be preaching a message probably that would be surrounded by what's happening this coming week. But it's just the right time that the Lord would want us to focus on His goodness. He is certainly worthy of our praise. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and I hope that you're able to be here, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving was my dad's favorite service of the entire year. It's a more relaxed service. It's a Wednesday night service at 7. It's the day before Thanksgiving. And normally, the preacher gets up and does a lot of the speaking. But on that particular service, you do most of the speaking. The whole time, you stand up. And you give testimony for how good the Lord's been to you. And so it's our praise service on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. People just stand up and they'll give a testimony of how good God has been to them this last year. And even in this pandemic and this year called 2020, isn't it interesting that 2020, everybody started off in 2020, great vision for the Lord, you know, 2020 vision. And then it's been thrown into a mess. But God's still God. He's still on the throne. And I'll guarantee you this, you can find something spectacular to praise God for this year that you may not have been able to ever praise God for before because it would have never happened to you unless God allowed what happened to happen. He's certainly worthy of our praise. See, God inhabits our praise. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. God deserves our praise. In this topical sermon this morning, we're going to see the areas that we should praise him. And we find that in our text, Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. Let's pray. Lord, we want to praise you for your goodness. You're a wonderful, wonderful Savior. We could spend the whole day, Lord, and maybe that's what we should do, but we could spend the whole day just praising you because of your goodness, your mercy, your grace. You're a good God. You inhabit our praise. You deserve our praise. You want our praise. And Father, that's what we're here. We're here to praise you this morning. And as we remind myself and all of us that are here and listening of why we should be praising you, I pray that you truly will get honor and glory out of it. There may be somebody, Lord, it would honor and glorify you best for them to give their life to you. Maybe they don't know you as their Savior. Maybe they don't know for sure they're going to go to heaven. But today they want to give you their heart. I pray that today will be the day that they do that. And Father, I pray that you'll just help me, give me wisdom, help me to be a riverbed, an empty riverbed, and you fill me with a river. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that we need to praise God for is for his goodness. His goodness, that's what the Bible says. Oh men, oh that men, we would praise the Lord. Why? For his goodness. The word could also be translated kindness. We need to focus on the goodness of God, church. His kindness towards us. Let me just give you a couple of areas. Like I said, this is a topical sermon. Let me give you a couple of areas that we need to focus on his goodness. Number one, how about our country? We have been given the greatest country on the face of the earth, in my opinion. She was founded upon freedom unlike any other country ever. The forefathers were people that knew there was a God and feared and reverenced him. They may not have all known him, but they knew about him. And I'm thankful that we get to live in a country such as the United States of America, and I'm thankful that God has given us this country. This country has been the best friend to Israel. The country that has been given the promises, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And America is the number one friend, the best friend of Israel. And I'm thankful that our country has taken that stand. And I pray that it continues to take that stand. One of the reasons that we are blessed so greatly is because we are friends with Israel. I'm thankful that we have a country such as this. I'm thankful that our country was the basic beginnings of missions. We sent missions all over the world. If it wasn't for this country, if God hadn't used this country, he probably would have used another country, but he chose to use this country to spread the gospel around the world. What a wonderful opportunity for this country, because we are a tool that God has used. It was founded upon biblical principles. You can go to Washington, D.C., and you can see verses that used to be, I don't know if they've pasted over them yet, but used to have cornerstone verses on different monuments and different structures in the city, because this country was founded upon God's word. I'm so thankful that I get to live in the United States of America. I'm thankful that we have men and women that have served this country and served this country proudly. I'm thankful for the men and women that are serving this country today. I'm thankful for this country. God has been good to me. I want to praise him. He let me be born in this country. You know, only 300 million people got to be born in America at this particular time. There's 8 billion people in the world. That means 7.7 billion people didn't get to be born in America, but we did. I'm thankful that I live in America. I'm thankful that I was born in this country. I'm thankful that I have the rights to do what I want to do or need to do to keep this country free. I have the right to vote this coming Tuesday. Not every country gets that privilege and right. Go to North Korea sometime. See what privilege and rights they have. Go to China. See what privilege and rights they have. Go to Cuba. See what privilege and rights they have. Go to Venezuela and see what privilege and rights they have. Go to Dominican Republic or Haiti and see what kind of privileges and rights they have. I promise you, it's not the same. We get to live in a great country. I would encourage everybody in this room to take a mission trip to a third world country. I would invite you to take a mission trip to a third world country. You should put it on your bucket list to go on a mission trip to a third world country before you die. It'll make you appreciate America so much more. I'm thankful that I live in this country. I'm thankful for God's goodness. He gave me a great country. I'm thankful for God's goodness because of prosperity. Now, this church is not a health and wealth gospel preaching church. I don't get up here and preach, you know, you do right and God's going to make sure that you're a millionaire and you drive a Mercedes. I'm not going to preach that because I don't believe that's true. As a matter of fact, it's anti-true because the Bible says, if you love me, the world's going to hate you. I mean, the Bible says, my children will see tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, he says. So I don't get up here and say, if you do right, you're not going to have any problems. I promise you this, if you do right, you're going to have more problems than you thought you would have. So I'm not a health and wealth gospel preacher, but I want to tell you this, I'm thankful for God's goodness and our prosperity. No matter how much money you have in the bank this morning, I don't care where you live or what job you have or what your financial status is, I'll guarantee you that everybody in this room and probably listening by internet, I'll guarantee you, you are the top 10% richest people in the world. No matter what your bank account is. Did you know that the worldwide average income, you know what the worldwide average income is per year? $9,733. If you make more than $9,733 this year, you are wealthier than most of the world. If you make more than $4.68 an hour, you are wealthier than 90% of the world. And I think our minimum wage is what, $75 now? It goes up all the time. I just want to say, I thank God for our prosperity. Most of you had something to eat this morning, if not all of you. Most of you had a vehicle to drive to church this morning, or had a comfortable ride anyway. Most of you have cell phones on your person. Most of you have some money in the bank. It may not be, might not be a lot in American standards, but in the world standards, it's worth more than you'll ever know. I've been blessed to travel in missions, and I have seen some really poor people. I've seen great poverty. The kicker is, they don't even know they're poor. But I've seen some great poverty. It's just a way of life. Trash piles so high. People going to the dump to find things that they can use around the house or eat. When I was in Cuba, the pastors made $15 a month if they were lucky. I remember one time, my very first time ever being in Cuba, we were staying in a Cuban's house, a pastor's house. He did not speak English. He had a wife and two beautiful children. They were very young, probably under the age of 7. And we stayed in his humble abode. We paid for our meals. We gave them some. They didn't know that we were going to, but they fed us the best that they could feed us. It was underwhelming to me. It was probably the best thing that they've eaten in years. They gave of their heart. They gave of their need. The last day that I was there, the night before we left, the pastor who did visitation and visited his people on bicycle. He was older than me at the time, so he was probably in his late 40s. Visited people on a bicycle. The night before we left, he got hit by a car and it destroyed his bicycle. He was okay, but his bicycle was ruined. I reached into my pocket and I had $100 before I left. And I gave him $100 and I said, go buy yourself the nicest bike that you can find. Now, that was nothing to me. I mean, $100 is $100, it's nice. I like it. Don't get me wrong. But I don't even know I missed it. Okay? I gave him $100 bill. Let's just say the average income in America was $38,000. Let's just say the average income was $38,000. I don't know what it is, but let's just say it's $38,000. It would be equivalent for me to give somebody give me $20,000. I gave him $100. It's equivalent for somebody to give me $20,000. I basically gave him $20,000. And I don't even know I missed it. He only makes $180 a year. And I gave him a $100 bill. I'm telling you, we're blessed. We're blessed. I was in the Dominican Republic. We were warned when we went there, we were close to Haiti. We were warned that we needed to be careful when we got a shower, that we made sure that we never got any water in our mouth and we did not get any water in our eyes. I developed a routine when I travel overseas. I still do this to this day. I make sure my mouth is as dry as it can be, so when I get into the shower, if it's dry and I get out, it's dry, I'm okay. But if you got into the shower in the Dominican Republic, if you got water in your mouth, you better quickly get some scope or some kind of mouthwash that has some kind of alcohol base to it to make sure it killed the parasite. If you opened your eyes in the shower, the parasites would get inside your eyes. This is their daily routine. This was me thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. I'm a germophobic anyway. And so I'm sitting there making sure that my eyes are closed tight, my mouth is getting in the shower, and it was cold water, it wasn't hot water, there was no hot water, it's hot water. Hot water is if, you know, you didn't have hot water. And so you get a shower real quick. I mean, nobody sang in the shower is what I'm trying to tell you. We leather up before we get in, we'd jump in there, we'd rinse off, and we'd jump out and hope to goodness that we didn't get a parasite. I would travel down the roads. You know how we'd take our snow plows here in America and we shovel snow and plow snows on the side of the road and sometimes they're 12 feet high? I kid you not, this is not even an exaggeration. They had garbage piled up like snow plowed snow, 12 feet high garbage lined up along the streets. They would just take their plow trucks and just plow garbage 12 feet high all the way down the streets. Filth. Poor. In the Philippines, we were able to take a lot of people to the Philippines, and they can attest to this. They build their houses out of anything they can find. Metal, sometimes cardboard, sometimes mortar. Poor. Poor. I just want you to know, if you're sitting in this room this morning, no matter where you live or what you have, you are blessed way beyond the rest of the world in prosperity. I wonder why that is. Honestly, I believe it because God let our country be because we're friends to Israel. I do believe that. And this country was mission-minded and God-minded from the beginning. The problem is we have a lot of people that don't want to be friends to Israel anymore. And we have a lot of people that don't want to be mission-minded anymore. There's definitely not God-minded. Hey, we have a great country. I want to thank God and praise God for his goodness because of our country, because of our prosperity. What about our health? If you have good health today, thank God for it. It's not promised tomorrow. I could tell you stories, sad stories of friends that I had that they woke up the morning healthy as could be, and by the time the night was over, they were in a bed paralyzed from the neck down. Most of us were able to walk in here this morning. Everybody in this room was able to open their eyes this morning. And I thank God for our health. It has been said, and I believe it's true, what if you didn't wake up tomorrow with what you forgot to praise God for today? What would you lose? But we have health. Hey, I want to thank God that we have I want to thank God for the goodness because we have the Word of God. Hey, we have access to the Bible. Most of us have three or four Bibles laying around at our home, don't we? Hey, I when I was preparing this sermon, I decided to count in my office how many Bibles I had. I have nine. Nine Bibles in my office, let alone my house and in my possession. I have nine Bibles in my office. You know, most of the world, they don't have one. North Korea, South Korea has to smuggle them in. There's missionaries that risk their life smuggling them in from South Korea so that North Koreans can. And if they get caught having a Bible in North Korea, they're executed. Just one page. Because what they would do is they would take a Bible and they would rip out a page and they would share it amongst their friends and family because they don't have a Bible. And if they get caught with any scripture, they're executed. In Russia, it is said that for every one whole English Bible that's sent to Russia, seven people read that one Bible. Seven people read one Bible. I mean, have you seen the Bibles that we send to Russia? They're paperback. How do they? We can't even keep leather Bibles in good condition. They are so meticulous about it. That seven people will read that one Bible, and out of the seven people that read that one Bible, four people get saved. That's statistics, friend. That's statistics. I did a video, I made a video years ago for Mount Pisgah, shot a video, edited. It's on Facebook, as a matter, or on the internet if you wanted to watch it. You can go to Mount Pisgah Printing Ministry, you can go down. And it's about that. You know, You and I, we're blessed. If you get a copy of God's Word and it's on your lap or on your cell phone or whatever, we're so blessed. I want to praise the Lord for His goodness for our country, His goodness for our prosperity, for our health, His goodness that He would give us the Word of God. We could literally go on the rest of the hour and just talk about God's goodness. That's just a skim of the things that you and I need to praise God for We need to praise God for his goodness. But the Bible also says, for his wonderful works, for his wonderful works. What in the world are wonderful works? Well, think about it. Those are works that God would use us for. Hey, he does things for all of mankind. His wonderful works for all of mankind. Notice that this isn't just for the children of God. His wonderful works are for all people. He sends rain to the just and the unjust. He gives to even those that hate him and refuse him, and they refuse to acknowledge him. See, God is good, his wonderful works. He gives us nature. He allows it to rain. Trust me, folks, this is not a political commercial. Global warming isn't going to destroy the earth. You say, you're not a scientist. No, I'm not even smart. But I do know that global warming is not going to destroy the earth. How do you know? Because the Bible said so. What? It does? Yes! Write this passage of Scripture down. If you don't think so, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Here's what the Bible says, not Nathan. Here's what the Bible says. While the earth remaineth, is it still here? While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. What? Genesis 8:22. You can argue with scientists or you can argue with God. I wouldn't argue with God. I would always argue with a scientist on that matter. Genesis 8:22. It's not a political statement. It's a scriptural statement. Listen, that doesn't mean I'm irresponsible. Doesn't mean I'm irresponsible. Doesn't mean I just go out and waste God's creation. I don't go out and burn tires just to watch tires burn. I don't go out and pollute because I think it's cool. I don't throw garbage into the rivers. By the way, American rivers are cleaner than any other river that I've ever seen. I wouldn't drink out of American rivers either, though. I mean, I'm not saying that we go throw our garbage in the streets, but I am saying that we're not going to destroy this earth with global warming because God said so. But God gives us nature. Hey, you know what that means? That means if you're saved or lost, you plant seeds, God's going to send the sunshine and the rain so that you have something to eat. Whether you believe in him or not. I mean, you think about the goodness of God. Listen, we're begrudging people. If people don't like us, we don't like them. And we don't care. You know, if your enemy doesn't prosper, you're like, good. God's like, my enemy's not prospering, I'll send him rain because I want him to prosper. That's God. That's the kind of God that I get to serve. That's the kind of God that I get to worship. That's the kind of God that shows mercy. God rewards faithfulness and hard work. He is good to all. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, I alluded to it just a second ago, but Matthew 5, 45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. That's the kind of God. Hey, listen, I want to thank God and praise God for his wonderful works. His wonderful works to all of mankind. His wonderful works by giving us nature. And his wonderful works by using you and me. By using us. The God of the universe wants us to be used by him. That's one of the greatest things about all of this, that God is willing to use somebody like me. I know me. I don't even like me a lot of the times. I don't trust me. And yet God wants to use me. He wants to use you too. His wonderful works, he wants to use us. Isn't it great to be used by God to do his work? Now, I know when we think of this, we think of preachers. Yes, Pastor Nathan, you've been called to preach, and you get to stand behind the plexiglass and preach. But that's not what this is talking about. God called me to preach. I'm thankful for it. But it's no more important if God's called you to drive a bus, because it's all about God's calling. Doesn't make me any better. It makes me more responsible. But it doesn't make me any better or holier, because the callings of God is what's important. And God wants to use you. You know that impression that you get, you wake up this morning and you're sitting there thinking, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while at church. Maybe I should tell the pastor. You don't need to tell the pastor. You may want to tell me, it's fine. But how do you know God impressed? Or, you know, I just feel impressed to bake cookies and give it to so-and-so. I am impressed to go to the grocery store and buy, I don't know why these people are on my brain, but every time I think of them, I think that I need to go to the store and buy them groceries. They've never asked. Go buy them groceries. Go drop it off of the porch and you see how God used you. You'll get responses like this. Oh my goodness, you don't understand. We didn't know what we were going to feed our kids tonight. But we're too proud to ask. How did you know? Did my wife talk to you? No? Hey, listen, that has happened. I don't know how many times that's happened. Just God lay upon your heart to do something and you do it for that person. And all of a sudden, that was God saying, yes, see, you are my arms and you are my hands and you are my voice. Thank you. You say, well, couldn't God just zap groceries down? He could, but he won't. Why? Because you have hands. Why doesn't God just zap groceries down on their porch? Because he's got you and me. I think so many times we overlook the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life, not knowing it's the Holy Spirit. Just thinking, oh, it's just some kind of, So what if you drop off groceries? They're like, what do you need that? Well, we don't need groceries. So no one's going to sit there and say, get those groceries off my porch. Number one, they don't know the future. They may need the groceries next week. They may not even know they need them yet, but God does. Hey, if God impresses upon your heart to do something for somebody, and if it's a God thing, if it doesn't go against Scripture, then go ahead and do it. God wants to use you. That's something we need to praise God for, that he would want to use people like you and me to be a blessing. Of course, we need to tell others about Christ, of course. And he wants us because we are his voice and we are his hands, we are his feet. I also, third and fourthly, we'll go quickly. But the Bible says we need to praise the Lord for his sanctification. For he satisfieth the longing. You know, he's the only one that can truly bring satisfaction. Did you know that? How many times have you and I looked for happiness to find it only but for a fleeting moment? Is this the way it is for you? I count down to vacation. Right? 3 weeks, boy. I see this on Facebook. 3 weeks and I'll be sitting here and there are people have me on the beach. 3 weeks, can't wait. 3 weeks, woo! 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week, woohoo! We're leaving this morning, yay! 5 days later, we're heading home. It was fun. Back to the grind. Because vacations are fleeting. You buy that new car. Look at my new car. And it's great until the new car smell wears off. It's just a car. Or they postpone the payment for 3 months and then you get the first payment. I hate that car. Satisfaction is fleeting. Unless it's in Jesus. You want satisfaction, friend? It's Jesus Christ. I want to praise him because he's the only one that can bring true satisfaction. Trust me, I've tried to find satisfaction in other places, and I can't find it. only but for a moment, and usually it drives me crazy. Solomon said it best. He was the wisest and the richest man that ever walked the face of the earth, ever. You could put all the richest people in the world combined, they still wouldn't have had as much as Solomon had. And here's what he says in Ecclesiastes. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. The word vanity means empty. Empty, empty, empty. I've had all the women. He had 1,000 women. I've had all the women. Empty. I have all the gold. Empty. I have all the chariots. Empty. I have palaces. Empty. Empty, empty, empty. My life is empty. Because he searched for happiness outside of God. Friend, you could be as poor as a beggar and be satisfied, satisfied, satisfied because Jesus brings satisfaction. I want to thank God and praise him for his satisfaction and finally for his filling. For he satisfieth the longing and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. See, he's the one that gives you and me purpose. He's the one that gives you and me purpose. Have you ever heard of anybody ever ask this question? What am I here for? What's life all about? Usually somebody's asking that question right before they pull the trigger. Or overdose. Or shoot up for the final time. Why am I even here? Or put the rope around their neck. What's life all about? Hey, it's not in stuff. It's not even in this election Tuesday. Fulfillment and satisfaction come from Jesus Christ. He not only wants to satisfy you, he wants to give you purpose, and he wants to see that your life is fulfilled. Full. Praise him, because that's the God that you have. He's a God that wants to give you purpose, and it says he wants to satisfy and fill the hungry soul with goodness. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, and you'll never, ever, 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 ever be satisfied with religion, with the Word of God, with church, with anything until you find Jesus. And when you find Jesus, you'll be satisfied. Your soul will be satisfied. It is what you have been looking for. He is who you've been looking for. He is the one that will fulfill and satisfy your soul. If you are saved and you remember the time that you trusted Christ to be your Savior and he did fulfill your soul and he did give you purpose and you've kind of wandered away because you want, like the dog going back to his vomit, you want to go back to the old way sometimes. We reminisce about the past. We reminisce about the good old days. And sometimes the good old days, the memories are not of spiritual blessing, but of carnal. Well, I remember being able to run around with my good old buddies back in then. We had a good old time. And we reminisce not about the spiritual. And usually when that happens, our faces turn towards carnality. And we're not remembering that he's the one that satisfies and fills and fulfills. Not only will he fulfill us, but he wants to fill you and me. You know, when I get up here and I preach and ask God to fill me, I mean that. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel used. I don't want to get up here and waste your time. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want my message to be the message of God. And you say, well, that you're a pastor. You should get that. No, no, no. That's for you too. I don't have to be the only one to get filled. You should be getting filled while you're, dear God, please fill me this morning. I don't know. I may not ever say a word in church, but please fill me. Let my singing be a blessing to others. I've seen this happen. I have witnessed this. My wife has been the tool that has been used in this manner a number of times. When we were in Firestone Road Baptist Church up in Akron, Ohio, my wife, she doesn't sing publicly. And she says she can't sing, but I think she could if we could work with her. But she doesn't sing, and she doesn't sing. But the choir director came up to her after we had gone to church for a couple of months, and said, "Would you sing in our choir?" Never ever hearing her sing, She goes, no, I don't sing in the choir. He goes, but your countenance and your face exuberates the love of Christ. When's the last time somebody said that about you when you can't sing? I'm not trying to put her on a pedestal, but hey, listen. Did you know that your singing could be a blessing to somebody else, even if they can't even hear you? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you asked God, please fill me this morning with your Holy Spirit while I sing and listen? And I'll dare say probably not a one of you. And to be quite honest with you, if I was sitting where you're at, probably not me. Because of the responsibilities that I have, I'm often reminded how much I need his filling. But do you understand that you do too? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise the Lord for his wonderful works. Praise the Lord for his satisfaction. And praise the Lord for his filling and fulfillment in your life. If you don't know Jesus, you know, let me introduce you to him. Let me introduce you to him, and he'll satisfy. He'll quench your thirsty soul that you'll never want to drink again. He'll feed you that you'll never need to eat again. He'll satisfy your soul. If you are lost, he's the answer. You say, well, I've been trying to find it everywhere. You've been led to the water. You have to drink. If you are saved, praise the Lord. You have so many things to thank God for. We focus just November Thanksgiving time, but boy, I tell you, it's something that should be a daily routine in our life. The first thing that you should do in the morning is praise his holy, holy name. Because he's good. He satisfies. He fulfills. And he uses you and me. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness and your mercy and your grace. You are a wonderful Savior. We need to give you praise, Lord. You've been so good to us. Father, I pray that you work in our hearts and our minds. There may be somebody under the sound of my voice, whether watching or sitting here, they do not know you. They're looking for satisfaction. They're looking for something. They've tried everything but you. I pray that they'll trust you this morning before it's eternally too late. May they accept you this morning to be their Savior. And then for us, Lord, that we would praise your name for your goodness, because you have been so good to us. What a reminder this morning of how good you've been to us. Not only to us, but every American citizen. You've been good to us. We've been favored. And we've slapped you in the face so many times, but you're so merciful. We cry out for your mercy still. But you've been good to us. Thank you for using us. Father, if there's somebody that is saved and they're kind of looking back, Father, I pray that we'll find satisfaction and fulfillment in your purpose for our life. Instead of trying to find it in television, in sports, in entertainment, in other substances, I pray that we'll realize that satisfaction is found in you, and help us to be reminded of that. You're good. We love you. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, will you please trust him to be your Savior? You've tried everything else. Let Jesus do it. He'll save you. Maybe you are saved and God has spoken to your heart about some things this morning. Maybe you've not praised him. Maybe you've griped and complained way too much, and you forgot about how good he has been. Maybe you need to ask him to forgive you for that. Maybe you need to come to him and say, God, I've looked for fulfillment elsewhere, but I'm turning back to you. I want you to know that I'll find fulfillment in you. Whatever the Holy Spirit's spoken to your heart about, we ask that you take care of business. If you're able to stand to your feet, the ladies will play a verse of invitation. The altar is open. If you're lost, I'll take the Bible and show you, or somebody will take the Bible and show you from God's word how you can be saved. If you are saved and God has spoken to your heart, here's the time to respond. Don't wait.